Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And the Lord said to the Jews that came unto him, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Welcome on the feast of St. Innocent and St. Thomas. Holy St. Innocent is a bridge to the modern era for us in many ways. He connects the Orthodox Church of the old world to that of the new. He was the apostle, it says in the reading that we read earlier, the apostle to the Americas, first bishop in the new world. And so we commemorate him today, and we'll be referring to some of his writings. I read extensively from his Indication of the Kingdom of Heaven and some other readings that I have. And so I'm full of the beauty of his thought. And I hope that I can communicate some of that truth to you today. In 1833, early in his ministry in America, he wrote a little pamphlet called The Indication of the Way into the Kingdom of Heaven. It's about 50 pages long, really good reading. You should probably try to take it and read it. I think Carolyn had it online, so if you need it, she can send it to you. Just see her. And it would be good for you to read into that. In the center of this little booklet, he devotes 5 or 6 or 7 pages to one simple thought. His whole pamphlet is written around the verse in Luke 9:23, where Jesus gives us a succinct and powerful statement about the Christian life. Jesus said in Luke 9, he said that if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so St. Innocent builds his way into the kingdom of heaven around this simple verse. And in the center of that verse, as in the center of his pamphlet, he picks up the topic, which we'll pick up today, which is taking up our cross. What is it to take up our cross? If any man will come after the Lord, that's our decision that we will come after him, then we need to take up our cross. And so it is that we pick up with our epistle today out of 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul takes us on a little overview of the life that he lived and of the life that anyone that wants to be the servant or the minister of God will take up. He starts off by saying, following up on the statements of chapter 5, that he beseeches us all to not receive the grace of God in vain. The chapter before says, in closing, that Christ was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so what is it, this grace that Paul beseeches us not to receive in vain, but simply the grace that's poured out upon mankind as a whole and upon us as individuals at the cross? Jesus' work on the cross is the central focus, the central power of God's grace. And that grace is bestowed upon all of us. It's available to us. And so the apostle says, don't receive that grace in vain, but make it worthwhile in your life. And so he says that in the day of salvation, this acceptable time which is today, we need to pay attention to the grace of God. He says, having received that great grace by faith now in him who hung upon the cross, we too need to go live. We need to live out what it is to take up our own suffering and follow after the Lord. And so Paul gives us an example of what it is to take up the cross of Christ. Humanly speaking, what does it mean? What is it? What are the symptoms, if you will? What are the things that occur to us if we take up our cross? And he gives a long list, a very long list. I'm just going to mention them in passing. And so much of what we cover today is cursory by nature. We only have so much time. If this was a day-long retreat, I could certainly go all day. But we're not going to do that today. We're simply going to mention some things, and hopefully the Lord will touch your heart. If you want to talk about it more deeply or read more deeply, see me, and we will direct you accordingly. He says, taking up your cross means enduring. Enduring many things that occur in your body to you. If you're a Christian, if you're going to minister, if you're going to accept the grace of God, then once that grace comes into your life, you're going to proceed to walk as a Christian, and things are going to start to happen. He mentions them. He mentions 10 things at first, and then a little bit later, he mentions 5 more. 15 ways that the cross gets carried by you. And he mentions these things. Look at this list. He mentions patience. He said, we've approved ourselves as ministers of God by carrying our cross in these things. We've been patient. We've been in afflictions, he said. We've been in necessities. We've been in distresses. We've been in stripes. We've been beaten. We've been in prison for the faith. We've been in great tumults. We've been in labors. We've been in watchings and fastings. We've been in dishonor. We've been in evil repute. We've been unknown and obscure. We've been dying, and we've been chastened. He points us to all these things that occur to someone that believes in Jesus Christ. These are obvious sufferings. They're things that occur to our outward person. They're afflictions of the body. We're all called to bear up under these things as Christ's disciples and followers. We bear, like all the great disciples before us, crosses like these. Perhaps you've borne some. Perhaps you're bearing some right now. Certainly, at some point, if you are his follower, you're going to suffer somehow. Inescapably, these things come to us. And how we deal to them, with them, and how we persevere under them is a measure of God's grace, first of all, and then also of our faith. Oftentimes, crosses come to us, and they certainly come to us uninvited. But they come. But even greater is the cross that you pick up after you've looked for it, and you go to seek to find it. There's crosses you need to pick up, and I think in our world today, so often in our self-centeredness and our weakness, in our selfishness and our pride, we don't pick up any crosses. What are these crosses? They're things like duty, obligation to parents, taking care of children, loving an unlovely spouse, an unlovely child, doing your duty, carrying your cross, doing what's right, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. All these things are outward. But these crosses are not the only crosses we bear. Your cross that you get called to carry or that you pick up is not just exterior, physical suffering, but it is internal also. And if you think about it, it must be that way. Your outward cross, the things that occur in your life to bring you into confirmation to the life of Christ, to focus you on God, inevitably work into your soul through your brain, and you think, and you wonder, why is this happening to me? I can't bear the pain, I can't bear the suffering. And so the outward things that are laid on you come inward. Just as inward prayer is important, it's more important, perhaps, than outward prayer. The two need to be matched together. And just as good thoughts need good actions paired to them, so it is that your outward carrying of the cross must be, by nature, accompanied by an inward cross carrying. And it is so it is that St. Innocent picks up this theme of carrying our cross as he goes through the three things, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and then following after the Lord. He looks at this carrying of the cross, and he says that outward carrying the cross is one thing, but inward carrying the cross is where you really meet God. What is inwardly carrying our cross? How does it manifest itself? These are crosses, my brothers and sisters, that are harder to carry, I believe, than the outward ones. And I'd say in our wayward world, where our hope and faith and trust and knowledge of God are diminishing, that these inward crosses that people bear are becoming greater and greater and more frequent and more oppressive and more fatal, if you will. These crosses that we pick up or that we get are brought upon us, these inward crosses, in ways that are brought to bring us to God. It's God's work, if you will, and it's marvelous in our eyes how he can take us and get our attention and turn our thoughts from the vanity of this life and from the vanity of this world to himself. Why is it true that inward crosses are so hard to carry? But why are they so important? First, as I said just a minute ago, every exterior cross eventually works its way inward. In its fullness, it seeks to grab a hold of not just your body, but your soul. It moves inward as you begin to consider your situation, to reflect on God's love for you or his distance from you. This is the purpose, this is the destination, I'd say, of all outward suffering, that it works inside, that the physical trial brings spiritual awareness and ultimately profit to our souls as we begin in humility to be humbled and to come to God in repentance. Also, these inward crosses are more important and ultimately more beneficial and more powerful because your outward body can only take so much. If affliction hits your outward body, sooner or later, you either pass out or you die. But internal pain and internal suffering has almost no limit. And so it is that the torture of our souls is greater than the torture of our body. Perhaps you've experienced this, and you know what God is directing us towards. The inward cross-bearing has no limit. And so ultimately our souls are not subject to these physical limits of weakness. And their depth and the eternal nature of our soul enables us to capture in a depth of feeling, pain and suffering that exceeds that of any torture on the outward man. Purposely speaking, God allows this to happen. You see, just as Jesus suffered on the cross, it wasn't just outward that he suffered, but it was inward. And it was even before the cross that he began to suffer. Remember, in the garden, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, saying, "Let this cross depart from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus suffered, not just outwardly, but inwardly. He suffered for our redemption. We suffer for our own salvation. And so, what is this interior cross that St. Innocent points us to? Just as Jesus is the focus of our most holy faith, so it is that St. Innocent put before us, right in the middle of his little pamphlet, this vital truth that we need to carry our cross, that we need for our own benefit, precisely to carry our own cross. Because it's in our suffering and our anxiety and our pain and our grief that alone we find God. And that we are taught to flee from this fleeting world and find the Heavenly Father. That's the reason for inward pain. That's the reason for all suffering. Blessed is the person that can bear up under the outward cross, that can carry the crucifixion of Christ outwardly. But more blessed and greater is he who's awakened to repentance and knowledge of God by the suffering that comes inwardly. So how does this inward cross come to us? It comes when we begin to consider. Our thoughts become enlivened to consider how great a gulf there is between us, between what we would do, and between God and his will. This is a turning point. But this is when inwardly we begin to suffer, because we look at ourselves and we see how great weakness we live in, how far we are from doing God's will, how distant we are from him, how far away he seems, how weak we are. We're brought down from our high place of vanity and pride, and we begin to see God's judgment before us, that we fall short, that we're far from him, and we become alarmed, and we begin to fear. We begin to think of hell and punishment. Does such a thing exist, we wonder? If so, am I subject to it in my state? And our soul begins to churn. Perhaps before we thought nothing of these things. We thought nothing of God. But when God brings suffering outwardly, it begins to work inwardly on us in this manner. And we begin to see paradise as far off, but as great and desirable, in our own condition as truly miserable. When we see our soul in this manner, it truly is a gift of God. We don't like the pain that comes. We don't like the negative thoughts about ourselves. But it's a gift from God when the illusion of you being okay is removed. If you're okay without God, you need the illusion removed. And God is very good at removing. And so he brings a suffering upon you, and you begin to drop down from your high place. And you become vulnerable and open to the fact that there's a God. And then you begin to weep over your sin. You become depressed about your condition. Many, many, many people in this country are on drugs. A year ago, I quoted some statistics in a sermon. I don't remember, but I believe it was something like 20% of Americans are on antidepressants. This state that we get into, we start to see ourselves, What's the purpose of life? How empty I am, how sinful I am, how wicked I am, how ungood I am. Drives us to a place of depression and desperation. It's a place that you can't stay in. It's too painful. And so some take their own life. It's too painful to stay there. And God doesn't want you to stay there. But Satan, your adversary, desires exactly that you stay there. And so when you get to this place, he begins to dump more truth on you than you can handle about yourself. In your own weakness, you see yourself as smaller and smaller. This is the juncture at which decision for salvation must be made. Are you going to believe there's a God who's able to deliver you? And are you going to turn to him? Are you going to give up? Judas gave up. Peter turned to God, weeping at his weakness. The devil, when you're down, seeks to show you more and more and more, just overwhelm you. This is where the worldly wisdom will leave us alone and bereft with no hope except to medicate. God, at this point, is calling you. You must go on, he says. You can't give up. If you believe that I am, believe that I love you. Believe that I will save you. Believe that I will deliver you. I can heal you. Turn to me. This is the inflection point. All this can happen to you. Perhaps it's happened to you. Perhaps it is happening to you. That you're down, down, down. You've been brought down. You've seen how hopeless it is. Now you need to look up. And you need to cry out to God to not despair. In whatever position your soul might be in, don't despair. Don't think the Lord's abandoned you. He's not. He precisely has brought you to this point so that you would come to him in all your troubles. He doesn't want you to seek consolation in someone else. He wants you to seek him. And so when you're brought very low, in desperation, you must turn to none other but to him. This is the point of inward suffering. This is what God brings us all to. This is why the Father said that we need a baptism of tears. We need to weep. We need to be brought low. And then we need to look up. A modern father, St. Silouan, says that he says you need to keep your mind in hell, as it were. But despair not. Trust that God will deliver you in the end. Once you realize your own impotence, your weakness, and your nothingness, God's able to teach you that he is, that he's great. And that he wants you to find your fulfillment, your purpose, your direction in him, in his purpose, and in his purpose alone. He wants you, when you get so low, you've got nowhere else to go, not to give up, but to realize then that he alone can deliver you, and that he's calling you to be truly his child, his son, his daughter. His son, his daughter. This is what he wants. Everyone that wants to be a Christian is called by the Lord to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Everyone who wants to be his disciple, there's no other way. There's no easy way. We have to pick up the cross. Wherever the Master is, there we need to be. He went to the cross, you'll go to your cross. You'll take up your cross. You will take up your cross. But if we take up our cross, we'll wind up where he is. Brothers and sisters, here's a truth that we need to spread abroad. Every single person in this world, Christian or not, living in India, never heard the word of Christ, living right in this church and having heard it, every single person is going to carry the cross. To carry the cross is not just the lot of Christians alone. No, it's for both Christians and non-Christians. The believer and the unbeliever carry the cross. The only difference is that for one, this cross serves as a cure and as a means of inheriting the kingdom, while for the other, it becomes chastisement and punishment and a weight that crushes them without God. What's the difference between how we look at our cross that gets laid on us, or that we bear, or that we even sought to bear? One person, the Christian, carries this cross with faith and surrender to God. The other person carries it with murmuring, with complaints and blasphemies and no hope unto destruction. But the Christian with his faith and her faith turns to God. So Christian, when God brings his cross upon you and you have to take it up to follow him, to be where he is, don't seek to avoid the cross. Don't murmur at the cross. Don't complain. But thank God. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for sending this cross to you. And thank him day and night for it, so you'll be numbered with him and those that have borne the cross before you. Unless Jesus had suffered, this whole world would never have entered the kingdom of heaven. But he did suffer, and he calls us to suffer along with him, so that our pride can be beaten down, our stupid independence can be put away, and that we can find faith and love and closeness to God that will deliver us into the kingdom of heaven and give us such consolation, such joy, and such hope that we can scarcely imagine how it is that we can carry our cross so joyfully. When Jesus comes and when we see him as he is, as God Almighty, our crosses become bearable and they serve for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.